Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. Hello, my friends. Hello. It's good to see you so. Getting into a little bit of a Neil Diamond song there. I was a big Neil Diamond fan. I guess I still am. But in high school, I was a huge Neil Diamond fan. Now, I was not in high school when Neil Diamond was cranking out his Desirees and his Forever in Blue Jeans. I was, it was 25 years after that. But we were big into Neil. I haven't really listened to Neil in a while. Been on a Genesis kick. I was big into them in high school. I have this, this is so stupid, but this is how I spend some of my time today. So I have, as one does, bookmarked tabs on your browser, and I have a lot of songs on YouTube bookmarked. It's how I would keep track of the songs that I liked. And I was going through them today and finally adding them to my Spotify playlist. And some of it was taking me back quite a bit. And it was probably the most calm and happy I've felt in a month. It really was. Because I got lost in it. I didn't think about anything else. I had a very specific task. And music, of course, is a very, it's a very like, It's that. It's a very like thing. It's very much like that. And so I enjoyed it quite a bit. What did I just do to the screener? I just broke the screener. Can you see that? It doesn't look like how it used to.
I don't know what you did because I don't see the same one that you see.
No, I see the one you see now.
Oh, so you might actually like been logged into my mode.
Does on the top, does it say shortlist, timer, talent, quit?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, then I
am Yeah, you're right. Shortlist, timer, quit. Yeah, I see it.
Okay, and then in the middle there, there's just the phone number?
That I don't see.
Oh. Okay, well, I'm going to fix that. Actually, I know we do have a call, right? Brent's there. Oh, I can see it. I know this is terrible, but I just really screwed something up. Like, so much so that anybody else that uses this might also be screwed. I might have broken something. So, I'm going to take Brent, which I think I can do.
I can do it for you if you like.
I think I hear him. Brent?
No, you do not.
No, he's there. Because I hear the echo.
No, it's literally on hold on my end, so I'm going to punch up Brent for you.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Brent, you're on.
Hey, Bart.
Hey, Brent. I broke this thing that other people use. That's why I'm, like, freaking out. Oh, yeah, I broke it, dude. I broke it. This is not good. Okay, go ahead.
I had a theory about maybe why some of these quarterbacks aren't signing.
Yeah.
How much of this is them maybe thinking they don't want to end up like Kirk Cousins and they're actually waiting to see who these teams draft because they don't totally trust the franchises to kind of do the same thing that happened to him last year?
Is that your own theory or did you hear me have that theory? And now you're reusing
it
as your
own thing. No, I was just thinking about it today.
Hmm. Just on your own?
Yeah, were you thinking about that too?
No, I believe you. I have mentioned that with Rodgers. I've wondered if Rodgers is not wanting to be Kirk Cousins. But I guess that could extend to Russell Wilson as well. There's not anybody else that's like in that class, right? We're not putting Jameis Winston in that class, but we're putting Russell. Are we even putting a difference between Russell and Rodgers? Like, if anything, I think Russell's better.
Well, I mean, he's not as much of a culture killer, that's for sure. Because I don't think you can have Rodgers and say, like, there's going to be any type of, like, mentorship or bringing a young guy along. I just don't believe it. So.
Yeah.
Well, quick thing. It's kind of a funny story that happened to me. I thought you might laugh at it. So I did officiating this year for basketball.
Yeah.
And we had our end of the year banquet. And anyway, the guy who's in like charge of our like officiating division was like acknowledging different people and saying people who actually got to officiate playoff games. And he's like, and actually the number was 3 lower than it should have been. But there's a weird situation that happened. So everybody's kind of like looking around the room, like, what is this? So apparently 2 high schools from the same town are like bitter rivals. And they ended up progressing through the playoffs. And then like 2 days before they were supposed to play in the playoffs, one team reported the other team for having an ineligible player. Found out it was true. And then the state commission disqualified the other team for the rest of the year, and that game never happened because they were disqualified. So if you can't beat them, just go out mafia style with some really, really cold news and get them disqualified in the playoffs. I don't think that'll help out the Packers next year. But
they don't need help.
Story.
They got Mecole Hardman. They don't need any more help. Brent, thanks for the call, and thanks for being with me on this journey. I have fixed everything that I thought I broke. I thought I broke something, and it got fixed.
And you panicked like
I did.
Your son would if he broke a lamp. Like, you really went off the wall. Like, oh, my God, it's broken. What am I going to do?
Well, and then so I tried to get through it as best as I could, and it did. I think that I'm probably my harshest critic, but I thought there was a noticeable, like, this isn't the program I listen. What's going on with this guy, right? There was a noticeable something, but I have a problem in my life where I unintentionally break things a lot. A lot. I break a lot of stuff. And so I don't think this would have cost any money, but I think I've been a net negative at a lot of the jobs where I've worked, where if I've made so much money, I've broken something that's been worth twice as much as me. I mean, I broke a TV live truck satellite dish once when I smashed the garage door and spliced it in half.
That I do remember you telling me
the button too soon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So that is not cheap. And I've broken plenty of things at different stops. And I didn't think this was, I mean, I just felt bad for people like that also work in the similar situation. And then they would have been, and they've been mad at me. So I did panic. I did panic, and I couldn't put it off even until a little bit later. But so thank you for that journey. Brent, thank you for the call. We do have a new phone number, by the way, which is how this all started. I think I'll just say that 888-710-4ISN 888-710-4476. Carlos.
Bart.
We talked last night about the Cubs and Dodgers.
Unfortunately.
And they play for you. New York City, East Coast, 6:10 a.m. You are a Cubs fan. The Dodgers, 3:10 a.m. again tonight. There's one more game in the series. And then they come back home, play some spring training games, and then go back. The Cubs play at 5:10 in the morning Central Time. So if you are a fan of one of these teams and you want to watch the game live, you have to get up in the middle of the morning for the most part. Now, there are enough of you, and maybe most of this audience, if you're up right now, you're like, this is great. I actually get to listen to a game on the radio, or I get to go home from work and watch a game. This is such a rare thing. But for people that work the 9 to 5, when there's games on in the middle of the night, have you ever had anything close to an experience like this? Have you, I guess the only other things that I could think of that this would be a common thing is maybe the Olympics or maybe the World Cup, but I don't know that you're a big proponent or fan of either.
Yeah, neither. Like, this is like if you're a fan of like tennis and you're like watching the Australian
tennis.
Open. You know, like that's the closest thing that I can equate to.
Golf, maybe the British on a Saturday morning, you're up at 3.
Yeah, and anything overseas that's going to be live.
F1, Formula One.
I like cars.
Yeah. Formula One's all over the world. Live Golf. I know you're a big liver. Right?
Is that what we should call them now? They're livers. If you're a fan of Live Golf, you're like, oh, I'm a liver.
I think so.
What would be the PGA counterpart to that? A pager?
Pager and a liver. I like that.
That's actually not that bad at all. Whatever happened to that merger? I probably shouldn't notice, but shouldn't the pagers and livers be like one conglomerate by now? I thought that was a thing.
The last thing that I saw was, I got to remember, Jay Monahan or Pat Monahan? Pat Monahan's
Jay Monahan sounds
Train.
Right.
Yeah, Pat Monahan's the lead singer of Train. Jay Monahan basically said, we're still trying to work together. We want to implement some of the stuff Live Golf does into the PGA.
They just want to implement the money. They don't care about
Yeah, because everything else is stupid.
Yeah, everything else is dumb.
Yeah, then there was reports that Brooks Koepka was unhappy, that he has a regret, and John Rahm's been bad since, and he might have had a regret.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're... Everybody who jumped over to live in it, I'm not judging them. Listen,
Mickelson has no regrets. Mickelson's like regretting this didn't happen sooner.
Him and Greg Norman will die on that shield. No problem whatsoever. But I don't fault anybody for taking the money. For somebody who doesn't have any money, I will do unforgivable things to get money. So I totally get it. But you're shunning the prestige, whatever you want to call it, the stability of the PGA. I mean, the tour schedule was set. You knew what majors you wanted to play in. You knew what little in-between tournaments you make some money in. And, like, there came a lifestyle that came with that. You kind of threw all that to the wayside to go chase the bag, and nobody's really talking or watching you. Like, the ratings for Live Golf are horrendous. They have a bunch of players, but, like, you got to, like, go watch them on the CW or some other rinky-dink, news outlet or cable outlet. So, listen, you want to take the money, fine, but you can't have the regrets knowing that's what Liv was all about. It was just, hey, come get your money. We may or may not be able to showcase you like the PGA, but that's, we'll figure that out when we get down the road. That's why the PGA they want to take the money and they want to take their players back so they can actually have something to be excited about, because Tiger's pretty much done. Who's the next guy to save and highlight golf? Like, I'm not a golf fan, but at least I used to check in to when Tiger was playing wearing red polo and playing on Sundays. There's nobody for me to check in right now. And then the fact that the Live Golf exists and they're taking away players in their prime, slightly past their prime, you're giving it a separate pool that I have to, like, jump through and possibly watch? No, I'm not doing all that. So they need each other. They're screwed without each other.
Well, it just sucks that, like, even with this Players' Championship, it was a good event, and Rory got the win, and there's, certainly names in there, and I think what Scottie Scheffler's been able to do has been great, but I don't think
he's
got,
arrested.
Like, yeah, that was still insane. I forgot about that. But he's not bringing, like, the audiences that Tiger was. Tiger was just a completely different thing. But the majors have, like, weirdly taken on an even more importance, because it is, like, the only time that they are all together, that they do have guys from Liv play with the guys from PGA, and it looks so stupid because the Liv golf guys are in their dumb little jersey shirts and their hats with their dumb little logos on there, and, PGA's wearing they're still wearing, like, it doesn't look that different, but it's noticeably dumber. But, yeah, even the players would have been typically a big event, but that's just a PGA event. And that's where the majors aren't really always run by the PGA, so you can have exemptions for the other guys. But, yeah, it's not as good. And everybody knows that. And I don't know when we get to a finalized conclusion. I think we'll get there at some point, but it might take a while. So yeah, really, the international kind of events would be the ones, because if a United States team or league is going to play overseas, they're still going to do it at a time where, you know, 7 o'clock in Paris is 1 o'clock in the afternoon, or those London games. Okay, they're played at 8:30, 9:30 in the morning. Now it is pretty nuts if you're on the Pacific coast, the West Coast. You might have to get up at 6 on a Sunday morning to watch your football team play. That's weird. And that's kind of like what this is for Chicago. Although on the West Coast now it's at 3:10 in the morning. But they really were focused on, we're making this a primetime game in Japan. This is for Japan. And there's 162 of these things. So, you know, if you miss two of the games in the States, you'll live. And also maybe you get up. Maybe you build something around it. Maybe you DVR it. You will be fine. But the thing I remember doing this the most for, getting up in the middle of the night and watching games, was the 2002 World Cup. The 2002 World Cup. And there's been other World Cups where they're at different times. There was the one in Qatar. There was one, I think, in Russia not too long ago. But the one that was in South Korea and Japan in 2002. And that's when the United States had like its best run of my lifetime. They went all the way to the quarterfinals, lost to Germany 1-0, should have won that game. There was a handball that didn't get called, and this was before review and replay, but that made me mad. But it was the summer after I graduated high school, okay? I stopped working. I like reffed soccer, but I didn't have like a job to go to just for that summer. And basically, the summer was soccer for me. It was either playing soccer, reffing soccer. I may have also coached some soccer, and then watching the World Cup. And it was right after school got done. We had all just graduated. So it's still like the 40 kids you hang out with. I had a big class, and we had, you know, the big factions. And my house growing up was, you know, like a middle-class home where it's just like one long room, living room, dining room, kind of a back room. You can have two TVs on at the same time, but you might hear each other. But it certainly wasn't one of these kind of houses. There were houses that even that I would go to, and these people weren't like rich beyond my wildest dreams, but, oh, that's clearly the house that if we have a soccer team, they're going to host the pasta party. Okay, they can have, when they're out of town, when their parents are out of town, they're going to be the ones that host the party on a Friday night. You know, they have the room for it. My house was not that by any means, but my house became the designated World Cup house. So we were cramming 35, 40 people in the middle of a night. And I remember we got a huge, like USA played Mexico, and we got like a huge crowd. There must have been 50 kids in my house. And then it was just bonkers. It's just the middle of the night, 2 a.m., and it was crazy. So that was really fun. So if you have the ability where you can get involved, but even some of those games I'd try to get up for, I'd be like half asleep for. The USA games, obviously, we were fired up. That was fun, but that, there is kind of a unique charm with that. And really, the only other opportunities for that would be World Cup, but that's coming here in 2026. And then the Olympics, and that's coming here in 2028, which is always weird, too, because then you get so used to those being crazy times events, and then they're actually at normal United States primetime times. 888-710-4ISN. That's right. That's a new phone number. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. We'll come on back. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
And that is why we have the Odyssey app with the rewind feature. That is why we have the podcast available wherever you get yours. You can also be a part of the show like D. There is a phone number. It is different. We have a new one. So I am making a point to say it a lot in hopes that you will write it down for the next time the moment strikes you. Because what will happen is I will say the number repeatedly over the next couple of nights. And you'll be like, God, we get it already. But you won't write it down. And then in a couple of weeks, there'll be something that we say. And you're like, I got to be on the radio. I got to call these people. What's the phone number again?
What's that?
And then I won't say it. And you'll look it up. And you won't be able to find it. Or you'll find it, but you'll get it wrong. Or something will go awry. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. 888-710-4ISN. The drama around the NFL draft is still there, but I think the main drama in terms of at least the quarterbacks is Shadur going to go at 2? Because it seems like Cam Ward is going to go at number 1. It seems like that is something that is happening. On the latest episode of the Adam Schefter podcast, he is quoted as saying, I think it's becoming more and more apparent that Cam Ward is destined to be the number one pick in this draft and that the Titans currently have that pick, and I can see them taking Cam Ward. And if they're not taking Cam Ward, then it's in their best interest to say they're taking Cam Ward because then they can leverage that slot and trade that pick for as much in return as they could possibly get. That's true. If the Titans told everybody, we don't really know, doesn't really matter to us, there's about 7 guys we like. Well, okay, then you don't value the number one pick as much as I might. But if you're like, no, we made a decision, and not only do we make a decision, this is the guy. So you guys all know the guy, and we are locked in to the decision. What's also interesting is if there was a team that was going to trade into that number one pick, who would it be? Because it seems like the teams that would be most willing to trade into that pick are the teams that are right behind the Tennessee Titans with that pick. So let's go through the list. The Titans, 1, they need a quarterback. The Browns, 2, they need a quarterback. The Giants, 3, they need a quarterback. Now, when I say they don't need a quarterback coming up, you might be like, well, that guy sucks that they have. That's fine. But these teams don't seem to be actively interested in trading up for a quarterback in this year's class. They may still draft one in round 2 or round 3, but the Patriots certainly are not in the market for a quarterback. I did the preface because I was going to say Jacksonville doesn't need a quarterback. They don't need a quarterback. The Raiders just traded for Geno Smith. The Jets have Justin Fields, and also I don't think they're eager enough to trade pieces and picks to go up that high. The Panthers have a quarterback. The Saints, I don't think, can be affording to trade picks at this point. The Bears have a quarterback. The Niners, the Cowboys, the Dolphins, the Colts, Atlanta. So the teams that need a quarterback the most, other than Pittsburgh, which is down at number 21, and I don't think they want a rookie. I think they want a veteran, but the only veteran seems to be Rodgers, although Russell Wilson exists, although they just had him on the team. And I would just re-sign him if I was Pittsburgh, but whatever. And I would wait for next year's class, but whatever. So if Tennessee is going to trade the number one pick, who are they going to trade it to? Well, let's say they trade it to the Browns. Now, we have never seen a team trade from number 2 to number 1. We have not seen that. If the Browns were going to do it, they would definitely have to give up number two. So you're only trading down one if you're Tennessee. And then you have to start dipping into the second round picks. So it would essentially cost you a second round pick, number 34, and number two to get number one. Could there be some other, like, extra sixth round, extra seventh? You could do that song and dance if you wanted. But would the Browns be in a position where they're thinking, okay, we've got pick number two and we've got pick number 34. Cam Ward is the guy we like. We want to take him. We're willing to give up pick number 34, essentially, to get Cam Ward. Is the difference between Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders pick number 34? Are you going to look back in 5 years and say, God, we ended up drafting some scrub at the top of the second round. If we would have just traded up for that pick, we would have got Cam Ward. If you're assuming that Cam is going to be better than Shedeur. These are decisions that are up to the teams. Tennessee also has to be a willing and engaging partner, but these are decisions left up to the teams. It seems like a lot. On one hand, you're like, oh, all they have to do is give up a second-round pick. You're giving up a second-round pick to go up one spot. So it is a lot. A team that might be more tempted to do that is the Giants. And the Giants would have to go from 3 to 1. And if you're doing that, you're giving away. So the Browns would be 33. The Giants would be 34. And then would you also have to add in some sort of 2026 pick? The kind of consensus thinking here is the Browns can probably just give up 2 and number 33. But if the Giants wanted to go from 3 to 1, because if you're the Browns and you're trading, that's the swap. If you're the Giants, there's still a whole other team in there. Giants can tell Tennessee, we're taking this guy. Tennessee can know who they want to take, but you don't know what the Browns are going to do. So that's going to cost you more. So would you have to give up your second round pick this year and next year? Would you have to go like a second and a fourth? What would the cost be if you were going to do that? Again, the other teams that maybe would look long-term at a quarterback could be the Raiders, although they seem content because they paid Geno Smith. The Jets are interesting. Justin Fields did sign a 2-year deal. It's $30 million guaranteed. They can essentially walk if it's not working and be fine. But if they wanted to get into the mix, all of a sudden, if they wanted to get into the mix, they would probably have to give up the number 7 for sure, number 42, and maybe next year's number 1 pick and another pick. I mean, they would have to give a big haul. So to get up to the number 1 spot, you hold a lot of leverage. You hold a lot of leverage. And there are teams that need a quarterback, but it does seem like the teams that need the quarterbacks the most are sitting right behind the Tennessee Titans. And I don't know how encouraged or motivated they would be to make a trade with Cleveland. And then I don't know how motivated they would be to make a trade with the Giants. I've got to think they like one of the two guys better. So if I like one of the two guys better, I'm taking that guy. Now, sometimes in fantasy football, I'll say from expertise, sometimes in fantasy football, I get a pick at like number 3 and there's 3 guys that you could all take number 1 and you kind of don't mind having number 3 because the decision will be made for you. And that's fine because there's nothing you could have done about it. There's nothing you could have done. I didn't draft 1. I didn't draft 2. I drafted 3. The decision was made before me before it got to me. I'll take this guy. Easy. Peasy. Lemon. Squeezy. As my kid has started saying, I don't know where that came from. But if you have the number 1 pick and then trade down to number 2, that's different. That is, we purposely didn't take this guy to settle for the other guy. And it's one thing if you take the wrong guy, but if you trade out of the pick where you had a choice for both of them and then picked after and let the, it's different if you trade. It's just a different mentality. I don't think Tennessee moves the pick. I think they take Cam Ward. I feel like that seems pretty obvious at this point, at least from what we know now. We're still 5 weeks away. There's still a whole bunch of, have you seen this mock draft? It makes no sense, but let's interview the guy and help him boost his stature because he took Jackson Dart number one. We got to get him on the show, but why did he put Jackson Dart number one? Well, not because he thinks Jackson Dart's going number one. So there's still a lot of that has to happen over the next coming weeks. That should be exciting and fun. So far, though, there have been no trades for any first-round picks. Remember the Vikings made a trade a couple years ago? They went up. It's like, okay, what are you doing? Are you going up even more? They didn't. There's been no trades yet. This is the closest to the start of the NFL draft in which there have been no trades for any first-round picks. Not previously, not this offseason. The last time we were this close and everybody had their first-round pick, 1993. And 5 days before that draft, Joe Montana was traded from the 49ers to the Chiefs for a first-round pick. So we haven't seen anything yet. We may. We may see some swaps. We may not. Do players get moved? We'll see. But the night of could be interesting, or maybe one of these random April days where we're just hanging out. Oh my God, did you see that the Dolphins traded up to number 7 with the Jets? It makes no sense. Maybe something like that happens. They certainly have enough time to talk to every GM in the league multiple upon multiple times. So some interesting things to consider and look at as we get closer to the draft. Again, new phone number, folks. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. No new format, though. This is now the time where we throw to an update. And that would be right now. And that would be with Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show. Little Tuesday's gone. What does it make you think of?
Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Who are you waving to?
I got to make sure I put that in my calendar. Happy Gilmore 2 is going to be out July 25th. That's a Friday.
4 days after my birthday. It's like everybody is trying to get on my good side that time, including Netflix.
I knew that day was familiar. Fantastic Four comes out that day.
I know.
Ooh.
It's going to be a loaded week.
Well, Fantastic Four, what they'll do is it'll come out on Thursday, and I'll go see it at like 2 in the afternoon.
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, I will give you a several-month heads-up right now. If I don't get early shows, I am not coming into work that night.
For Fantastic Four?
That is 1,000% priority. That is, I'm not waiting until Saturday to go see it.
You waited with Brave New World with Cap. You waited with Cap.
Yeah, because that was Cap. No disrespect to Sam Wilson and Cap here. This is the debut of the Fantastic Four in the MCU. I am 1,000%. I am running. My car could be on the fritz. I'm running to the movie theater to see Fantastic Four.
What about Thunderbolts?
I do like that one. I could wait on that one a little bit. But I am anticipating it. I think it's going to be everything the Suicide Squad wanted to be.
It's too hard to wait because the problem is I'm very specific about the things that I look at on the internet. It's basically sports and Marvel. And so I have to go or I get spoiled. And even still, there's like reviews that come out that like I don't know that there's anything that happened in Captain America that I didn't know was going to happen, you know?
Well, especially since they gave it away in the trailer. The big reveal was Red Hulk. Like, okay. And then that, they made the climax. I'm like, well, I already saw this was coming.
Yeah, that was a mistake. I think people would have liked the movie better if they didn't know going in, but then they, I understand why, but okay. So Happy Gilmore 2, which I am excited. I'm going to watch it day of. And it's like, so the trailer was, he hasn't golfed in a few years and he's coming back and he's got to act his age kind of thing. So it's interesting. I the trailer came out today is why I bring it up, and the song. But it's been 30 years since the movie. I don't know. Sometimes these trailers or these movies come out 30 years later.
Yeah, like you, like some people are into the sequels, but the sequels take too long to come out. So like the interest has waned.
And did we need another Top Gun? Did we?
I actually liked it. Okay. I'm going to lie. That was one of the few sequels that I think did well, like where they paid just enough homage to the original while making it its own thing. Happy Gilmore 2, I wanted this maybe 10 years ago. I wasn't in love with the trailer today.
Well, what, like the problem is when there's a movie that, like if you have a movie and then you have a trailer, a sequel a little bit later. So think like Austin Powers. Okay, just for example, there were plenty of Austin Powers that came out, and it was like a thing. You expected the next one, you waited for the next one. When you have a movie and then there's a sequel to it way later, like Zoolander 2, nobody liked that. Okay,
I don't even think I saw it.
Anchorman came out with an Anchorman 2 10 years after. I don't remember anything about it. So I'm worried that Happy Gilmore 2 might fall on that same fate. But I'm excited for it. I put it in my iPhone calendar, which I do for movies and TV shows. So tonight I'll have to go home and watch the new Daredevil. And then the Severance finale's this week, too. Severance finale.
Oh, my God. How are you breathing with all the activities you have to do?
I don't know. I'm pretty worn out. And I have basketball to watch. Ay, Dios míos. Let me give a final update tonight on what we're going to call the Aaron Rodgers situation. It is certainly, I only got 3 minutes left. I'm not going to spend too much time on it. I know some of you say you don't want it. But there is interest there. Or is there not? What happened? Everybody was so mad last week. Everybody was so mad last week he wasn't giving an answer when everybody else was giving answers. And now it's a week later and you're like, who cares about Aaron Rodgers? You do. All of you guys do. Right? I think. That's what we thought. Anyway, it seems like the Vikings do have an interest. Albert Breer was with Rich Eisen today on the Infinity Sports Network. He had said it's possible Rodgers comes to Minnesota. The questions the Vikings are probably asking themselves are you willing to hit pause on J.J. McCarthy for a year? And how will this affect J.J. McCarthy? I think J.J. McCarthy will live. If he's coming off an injury, he's 22 years old. I think he will live if you take a big swing, 1 year swing on Aaron Rodgers. I'm not worried that I hurt J.J. McCarthy's feelings necessarily. I worry about what is the impact on J.J. McCarthy. Like, not feelings-wise, not being sad, but what influence does Rodgers impart onto J.J. McCarthy as a football player? Would an Aaron Rodgers-J.J. duo benefit or hurt? This is not a risk that I would take if I was the Vikings. There's plenty of reporting about how high they are on this guy, and I would give it a shot. If I wasn't high on him, I would bring back Sam Darnold for the 1 year, $40 million on a franchise tag. I'm not going to not take Sam Darnold, have an entire year to think about it, see him struggle for two games, pass on him, and then see Aaron Rodgers win five games with the Jets and say, oh, I'd rather have that. It seems to me like you had a better version of the thing you might be thinking about acquiring now. So I would not be interested in that. And I don't know that, what is the best case scenario? What is the best case scenario? I don't believe you win a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback. I've been saying that since 2015. And you're throwing him into a new situation. Yeah, you get, then you get the Packers. He plays the Packers twice. Cool, man. Oh, he plays the Bears. He owns the Bears, man. That's cool, man. So sure, you get a few Sunday night football games. You stay up for the fourth quarter instead of falling asleep at halftime. Good for you. But I do not think it is the right move for Minnesota. That's it for us. I'm Bart Winkler. Thanks to Carlos Ortiz, Marco Belletti, Joe Reedy for jumping on the program tonight. Want to thank Justin Rock. He was here. Did a nice job. Linnell Willingham, up next, Infinity Sports Network.
Thank you for listening to The Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.